I invite you to return with me to Romans chapter 8, and that fantastic passage that we just read together, which culminates in words in verse 37 onwards. Know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Well, I guess that the theme of the service, in my mind anyway, has been announced in prayers and in the songs that we've sung, that we're thinking about victory. And it's been a busy time, if you're interested in sport, over the last while, with the World Cup and with Wimbledon. And today all that has come to a climax. We know, probably you know anyway, who the World Cup winners are. If you don't, I'm not going to tell you. But I wasn't slightly late this evening because I was watching the end of it. I actually was all for setting off to Kyle, my apologies, then realised we were supposed to go into Plockton. But anyway, if you've come to church to escape the ubiquitous football coverage of the past month, then I'm sorry. Because what I want to do tonight is I want to compare the experience of following football and following England particularly, actually, because that's been mostly in our consciousness over the past nearly month, with the experience of following Jesus. I'm not saying you necessarily followed England as a team, but we've certainly heard a great deal about following England as a team over the past month. And I want to compare that with the experience of following Jesus. You don't have to have supported England to understand the passions that were aroused by the English fans. I'm not implying any criticism of them if I mention that their fanaticism, their fervour, sometimes their arrogance, sometimes their pure barminess. Stephen Fry, after the Croatia defeat, tweeted, "Sad, proud, annoyed, relieved, disappointed, unsurprised, impressed, vexed, gutted, elated, deflated, despondent, encouraged, defeated, defiant, broken, resilient, inspired, silly," all those things. That's the kind of mixture of emotion that football can create in the lives of those who follow it. And of course we know ourselves that fans of our Scottish national team, although we weren't in the World Cup, we're equally capable of demonstrating all those emotions and all those attributes. Now you might be here thinking, well, I'm not really interested in football. And if you're not, that doesn't mean you shouldn't have some interest in football. Just from the point of view of the fact that as a Christian, we should think it important to be informed about the world we live in, for the sake of interacting with the people around us, because football has a huge place in the mindset of our nation. Apparently, the final moments of the England-Croatia match this week were watched by 26.5 million people in the UK. And they were the most watched 5 minutes of British television since the 2012 Olympic opening ceremony. So that tells you something about the place of football in our national life. And even if you're not really interested from a personal point of view, it's important to at least be able to say something about it rather than just being critical and just dismissing it, because we want to connect with people. And we want to do that because people matter to us as Christians. And if something matters to them, it matters to us. And we want to be able to connect with them so that we can share our beautiful Saviour with them. I was recently speaking in a church further up the coast, and I asked, it was a small congregation, I asked them, "Who is Usain Bolt?" And one of the people in the congregation confessed they'd never heard of him. Now I found that astonishing. Because even if you're not interested at all in sport, it's very, very hard to miss someone as prominent as Usain Bolt. We need to have an awareness of our world, we need to have an awareness of what's going on in the world, so that we've got common ground with people. We don't want to be so heavenly minded that we're of no earthly use. And we want common ground with people because it's in that common ground that we build relationships and that we can therefore share what we have, the riches of Christ, with people. And that's why Paul says he became all things to all men, so that he could, by whatever means, save some of them. So, we're going to think about four things tonight. I want to think, first of all, about having a right perspective on what really matters. Perspective. For many people, football has engulfed their lives over the past few weeks. It reminded me of Bill Shankly's famous quote, where he said that football was more important than life or death. He said it's not just a matter of life and death, it's more important than that, he said. Some people have certainly gone down that line, and other things have been eclipsed. Now, apparently no one knows the origin of football. No one actually knows where it began. But it certainly goes back a very, very long way. Perhaps a long time ago, two little boys stuffed an animal skin with some feathers and started kicking it around, and then made goals for each other with rocks and tried to score against each other. Then one of them, in a moment of prescience and insight, turned to the other and said to him, "Do you know this? In 4,000 years' time, 1 billion people all over the world will watch two teams play this game, and it will affect the mood of whole nations." And the other boy would turn to him and say, "Don't be silly, people aren't that stupid." But that's the way it turned out. And whether you just think that football is a game where 22 people kick around a wind-filled bladder or not, or whether you think it's just that, or whether you think it's much more, we need to get perspective. Now, I'm not anti-football myself. I've enjoyed what I've seen of the World Cup. It's a beautiful game of skill and teamwork and passion. It can do a great deal to bring people together. It can help keep people out of trouble. It can promote fitness. Lots and lots of positive things about it. But it's dominated the news coverage. And this past week, with England in the semi-finals and so on, it absolutely was unavoidable everywhere you looked. Even though there was a far, far more important drama being played out in Thailand, with a football team, as it happened, and their coach trapped underground, deep within a cave system. 12 boys and their coach were almost forgotten at times because of the football coverage. But of course we know ourselves that whether or not they got out safely from the cave was infinitely more important than whether England won or lost a football match. But we lost perspective. There are greater issues than sport, and there are greater issues even than the safe, thankfully successful rescue of the Thai boys and their coach. We're told here that there are powers that are trying to separate us from the love of God. Verse 38 and 39, death and life, angels and demons, the present, the future, powers, height, depth, whatever may be in creation. There are things that try to separate us from God's love. And if those things succeed in doing that, we will be loveless and condemned forever. And this is what we should be passionate about more than anything else. And if we're passionate about football tonight, we should ask ourselves, are we more passionate about Christ and about salvation? Because on the day of judgment, we're not going to be rueing the fact that we didn't spend more time watching sport. We're going to be rueing that we didn't spend more concern with our own and with other people's spiritual condition. So we need a right perspective. And we perhaps lost that this week. Okay, the second thing is happiness. Where can happiness be found? The success of the English team has brought a lot of happiness, certainly south of the border, and for magnanimous souls north of the border as well. just as it would have done north of the border of England if Scotland rather had been in the semi-finals. Some people have said, and I got a few quotes just from the BBC websites about this, some people are saying the atmosphere of the country, that's England, is lifted. People are just happier. It's taken things like Brexit off my mind and has given me something to talk about rather than politics. Another says there is football fever everywhere. Even on my bus, I could feel it. The difference was everyone was happy. And one Iranian immigrant who was interviewed said he hadn't experienced anything like the euphoria created by Gareth Southgate's team since moving to the country in 2002. It's the first time I have seen that much happiness, he said, in the 16 years he's been living in England. That's quite a telling comment, really. But at the same time, when defeat comes, another fan said, football has the power to lift people's spirits, but then it dumps them back down again. That's the problem. And not only is there unhappiness, emergency services across England had a busy night after the Croatia match finished. West Midlands Ambulance Service said it faced a barrage of 999 calls after full time, including reports of assaults and domestic violence. So it's not all rosy. And it very much depends on winning and keeping winning. But the goal of life is not to be happy anyway. If happiness is simply a feeling of well-being, well, we know that feelings come and feelings go according to the victories or the defeats in our lives. But if we can say what it says in verse 31, then we've got more than a temporary happiness. If we can say, if God is for us, who can be against us? If we can say that in our lives, then we know that we're always winning. And we can have an everlasting happiness, yes, an everlasting joy. And if we can say what it says in verse 38, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we can say that, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ, then we can have a peace like a river that no one can take away. So tonight, what do you look to for a lift? Is it your team to keep on winning? Or is it something like the treat that you ordered to arrive in the post, or another sunny day? Or is it in Christ that you look? Not just for a lift, but for an everlasting victory. More than happiness, more than a feeling. Then there's a theme of faith, hope and love. Faith and hope and love. You probably saw the left thigh of Teddy Allen, this English fan who had a picture of Harry Kane tattooed onto his left thigh with the caption, Sir Harry, World Cup winners 2018. He did say it could be, as is before the defeat by Croatia, it could be a bit daft and a bit premature. But hopefully we'll bring it home, and I'm pretty confident that we will. Now listen to what he says there. That sounds like the language of religion. Hopefully. I'm confident. Sounds like hope and faith. Is that the kind of thing that Christians have? Is that what our hope and faith is? That we don't really know the outcome yet of our faith, but we're hanging in there and hopefully Jesus will see us through. Is that what Christians have? Well, it might be what football fans have, but it's not what Christians have. Because as it says in verse 28 of Romans 8, we know God works for good. We know it. And the reason that we know it is because the victory that we have is already won. In fact, it's a historic fact. In verse 32, It says, God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Okay, so that's done. Jesus has already died for our sins at the cross. And because of that, verse 32, how will God also not, along with Jesus, graciously give us all things? So, if God's already given us Jesus, and Jesus has already died for our sins, then we already know that God will give us anything, anything else we need to deliver us from sin and give us victory over evil forever in our lives. We can be sure he'll give it because he gave us his son. What else could be more costly to God to give? Well, he's given the most costly thing he could give, and that is his own son. So we know from that historic reality that's already happened that God will give us everything else we need. So our faith and our hope are certain. They're founded on a victory that's already won. There's no uncertainty. There's no lack of assurance about the outcome. Our faith and our hope are well founded. But what about love? Is there love? Well, people were saying things like, everybody was talking with each other and passionate about their country. Everybody was putting their arms around each other and jumping around. It's brought a lot of people together with a good atmosphere. It's been a bit like New Year's Eve when everybody's in a good mood and they're jolly. People have been talking more. It's been nice. That sounds like love. We've heard people say that they've fallen in love again with football and with the national team and its players. Is that love? Well, here's what love is. This is 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Now, is that what we've seen in the football support? We've seen patience. No boasting, no dishonouring others, no self-seeking, no being easily angered. No, it's not love that's demonstrated in following football. It's not faith, it's not hope in the Christian sense. Love is patient. Football is often compared to a religion, but it's no substitute for the real thing. In Christ, we have a faith based on the victory that he's already won in his cross and in his resurrection. We have a hope based on the assurance that God, having done the difficult things for us, will do everything we need to bring us home to himself. And we've got a love where we love him. Yeah, and that's what verse 28 says. We love him. And we love him because we know that nothing can separate us from his love. As it says in verse 38 and 39. Doesn't matter then which teams play against us. It doesn't matter what contests we're in. We know that God's love will always win. And we can be absolutely sure about that. Our faith is certain. Our hope is secure. And we do know what love is because we've seen it in Jesus Christ. That should encourage us tonight. And it's not fickle. It doesn't depend on another good result and another good result because the victory's already won. So finally, there is a victory. We heard the words often enough, it's coming home. Except not in that accent. And it didn't come home. Now, they're saying it's coming home in 2022. We'll see about that. The thing with football is there will always be a defeat, no matter how good the team is. Sooner or later, there will be a defeat. And so it really depends on your team keeping up their performances. They've got to keep it up. They've got to keep it up. It's up to them. But it's not like that following Jesus Christ. Because as verse 37 says, in all things, and he's referring back to verse 35, the trouble, the hardship, the persecution, the famine, the nakedness, the danger, the sword. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Whatever life has thrown at us, whatever we face in life, however crushing and however difficult it is, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You can throw anything at the Christian and we'll still win. We'll win because even if we ourselves haven't got the strength to win, Jesus will fight on our behalf. We will be glorified, as verse 30 says. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Nothing can stop God from doing that in the lives of those he calls to himself. We will be glorified. We will have the victory. Many will try to defeat us with lies and accusations, but you can't do that to a Christian. You can't defeat them, because verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. You can't bring down a Christian by accusing them, by slandering them, finding fault, because God justifies them. God covers their sins. God makes them stand, even though we ourselves by our sins would fall. God makes us stand because of what he's done for us in Jesus Christ. And as verse 34 says, who is he that condemns? Who can condemn me? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God. He's interceding for us. He's speaking to God on our behalf. If we are those of faith and hope and love in Jesus Christ, then Jesus is interceding for us. We can't lose. We can't be defeated. We can't be condemned. We can't be beaten. Our standing doesn't depend on us being able to continue to perform at the highest level, because we just can't do that. So it may not be coming home, but we're going home. Nothing can stop the Christian from going home, from being glorified. Because despite our failures, Christ will always win, and we will always share in his victory in our behalf. I hope tonight that makes you want to be sure that you're on the winning side in Jesus Christ. You know, in sport, there's always defeats, and your fortunes are always hostage to the experiences of your team and to their performance, and no team can keep winning except Jesus' team. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In all things, whatever hardships, whatever things God, that life throws it against us, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. No one can condemn us. No one can defeat us, because Jesus Christ, through his cross and his resurrection, through his standing at God's right hand on our behalf and interceding and pleading on our behalf, has won. And we share in that victory, and we share in it forever. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2, he said, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ Jesus. And again, in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope that comparing the two, following football and following Jesus, helps us to have a right perspective, helps us to have a sense of where true faith, hope and love are to be found, and helps us to recognise where the true victory is to be found too. And it gives us a real desire to want to be with Jesus on the winning side. As the different fortunes of our teams and our sports heroes and of our nations come and go, those who are with Jesus are always on the winning side. We're always more than conquerors through Christ who loved us.